On today's show, we welcome Anna Boyle, a runner and mum of four from Oregon in the USA. Welcome to the show, Anna.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
It's exciting to have you. And I think, like, you know, being a runner, pretty impressive. Being a mum of four, very impressive. Being a runner and a mum of four, like, whoa, okay, hats off. Pretty amazing, pretty impressive. I see you out there all the time, you know, doing runs, you're in events, you're just all over the place, always got a big smile. Some delicious food pops up and I think, oh my God, I'm salivating when I see some of these little meals and snacks that come up on your feed as well. But for people who haven't yet come across you on their journey, could you tell us a little bit about your endurance life?
Yeah, for sure. So I was a runner in high school. I did cross country and track, but mostly I did it because I have two older sisters who were also running. So it was kind of more convenient just to follow suit. So I didn't hate it. I didn't really love it. It was just something to do at that time. So I didn't really do a whole lot after high school. You know, with four kids, I started off pretty young having my oldest one. So they kept me pretty busy and I didn't have a whole lot of time, you know, between work and school and all that good stuff. So really, I was kind of just not doing a whole lot after high school. And I spent probably those next 10 years just kind of running here and there, but never anything consistent. And then about a year and a half ago or so, I really started kind of thinking about my kind of overall health and just well-being. And so I actually kind of started a blog to help me stay focused and kind of accountable to what I was really trying to work on in my life. I mean, one of those things was committing to running a few times a week. So I began doing that. And then a friend of mine, she encouraged me to do a half marathon with her. So I started training for that, and I haven't really looked back since. I've been running 4 or 5 days a week since then. I've done several more half marathons, and yeah, I don't see an end anytime soon, hopefully.
Now that's exciting, isn't it? And so, like, an interesting idea, you know, to create the blog or, you know, go down that path to sort of create that level of accountability for yourself, you know, is in a way that's quite clever because, you know, it's easy to fall off the bandwagon with training. Mm-hmm. I'm a perfect example of someone that sporadic, if that's the right word. You know, the training is speckled here, there, and everywhere, or not so much everywhere. Did you find that helped initially, like having that the blog helped with some consistency?
Well, for sure, because I mean, I don't think I had a whole lot of people reading at that point, but just knowing that, you know, there was somebody kind of following my journey and depending on me to stay consistent to maybe, you know, help them be more consistent was a huge factor. It definitely helped a lot.
And then all of a sudden this friend says, hey, you're coming to a half marathon. You think, okay, half marathon. When you first started to train for that distance, was it a bit of a shock how long it was, or you felt comfortable with the distance because you had run a little bit?
Oh, no, it was a huge shock. I mean, there were so many times where I thought there's no way I can run 13.1 miles. Like, that's just crazy. Mm. So, yeah, it was a pretty mind-boggling for a while. And I actually started off just doing the run-walk method. So I wasn't running the whole time at any point during my training, which made it a little bit easier. But it was still a huge hurdle to overcome to mentally prepare to do 13.1 miles.
And what was it like doing your first actual race?
That was actually my favorite race, looking back on all the ones I've done so far. It was my favorite one because I didn't have any expectations going in. All I really wanted to do was just finish it. And I let my friend pick it. She lives in Washington and I'm in Oregon. So she picked one that was kind of halfway between where we were both at. And it ended up being in the middle of summer and it ended up being an evening race. So when we started, I think it was about 85 degrees. So it was hot. Mm. We were miserable, basically. But, you know, I mean, we just did it. And sometime during the race, she started feeling a little off. So I told her at one point, I'm just going to run a little bit further and I'm sure you'll just catch up to me. And then I ended up running the rest of it by myself and she kind of stayed behind a little bit just because she was feeling so miserable. Likely, like I mentioned, I was kind of focusing on my health. So I really thought about my nutrition and hydration before the race. So that helped a lot with being able to finish it. And really, I mean, for me, it was my first one. So like I said, no expectations. So I was happy just to be doing it. And it was out and back. So people were coming back. They were high-fiving me, you know, good job. You're doing great. All that nice encouragement. There was a few people on the side of the road, you know, also doing high-fives and holding up their signs and whatnot. And so when I crossed the finish line, I just was on cloud nine. I was thinking that was the best race ever. And then my friend had crossed a little bit after I did. I think she was about 10 minutes or so behind me. And her first reaction was, that was the worst race ever. Mm. And I was just so amazed at how different perspectives we had, just because she had done some before. So clearly she knew this was not a good race. But I didn't have any expectations. So looking back now, I'm so glad that my first one, it had been so awful, because if I had done that one later on, it probably wouldn't have turned out as well, or I wouldn't have such good memories about it.
Yeah, right. And so that's interesting, isn't it? It's like, you know, a couple of factors there, but, you know, I'm intrigued to think about the supporters, do you know, like when we're supporting others in life, whether it's friends, family, strangers, you know, it could be the high five on the side of the road. I hear, you know, someone recently was talking about the high fives that little kids give, you know, or the little signs they hold up, and everyone holds signs, I suppose, on the side. But, you know, you never really know just how powerful a high five, a kind word, a smile can be. So not only, like, you know, being the person that might be in the race alongside someone, or if it's your turn to be the person on the side of an event, you know, giving that encouragement is just really powerful. It's like a little NOS boost, as if you're a race car, and it gives you that little energy kicker.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I think that's so true just in the running community in general. I really feel, I mean, like, I know all sports have like their supporters and all sports are good, but the running community, I really feel, is all about encouraging others. And there's no room for just one runner out there. Like, there's always room for everybody to be able to do it. And I think that's part of why everybody is so inviting and so encouraging to just kind of get you out there.
I like it. I like it. And so really wanted to focus in on your health, really wanted to sort of take your own well-being to the next level. And, you know, I mean, I don't know, you know, what it's like for you, but I would imagine that mums often put themselves last, you know, in the way of making sure that everybody else is fed and everybody else is clothed and everybody else is happy and healthy, and sometimes, you know, whatever time might be left at the end of the day, you know, if there is some, you know, that could be some mum time. And so for yourself to be thinking about, you know, being healthier and being fitter, this running journey, has it accomplished the goal that you set out for, really focusing in on your health and improving that side of things?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, like you said, yeah, being a mom of four is not easy, and it is really time consuming. And most of my focus is on my kids and my family, making sure everybody is taken care of. So, yeah, when I started, I was really realizing that I was really putting myself second. And that kind of came out in different aspects of my life. My health, obviously, being one. I was struggling with my weight a little bit, and I'm smaller. So if I gain a pound or two, you can tell right away. Mm. And then also just my mental health, not really focusing on myself, kind of hurts the family in general too. So yeah, now that I kind of have my own goals to work for, and my kids are getting a little bit older, so it makes it a little bit easier also, but just really focusing on what I am doing in my life, not for anybody else, but just for me, and what I need to do to stay physically and mentally healthy, has helped in every aspect of my life.
So it's interesting, isn't it? It's like, you know, in you mentioning putting yourself second, and probably you're probably actually putting yourself sixth. Do you know, like, in a way,
right,
because it's
right.
Like you've got this, you know, and then you start to think, like, and that's not even to say that there's not even other, whether if it's a job, or if it's community, mm-hmm. or if it's church, or if it's something else where, you know, there might be more and more people that you're kind of putting before you, and pretty soon, you know, you're 53rd on the list, and it's like, oh God, you know, is anyone, are you even looking that, do you even have enough time to look down to the 53rd spot and give some time to yourself if you're in 53rd place? But it does sound good, you know, like what you're mentioning, and having that awareness that charity starts at home, you can only give away what you've got. For you to be able to work on yourself, then that actually makes you better for everybody else around you.
Definitely. It's the idea of, you know, being in a plane, and you have to put the oxygen mask on yourself first before you can save anybody else, because you're no good to anybody if, you know, you're not breathing. So yeah, I love that idea.
And most mums out there are probably like, yeah, you know, that sounds, you know, sounds like a good idea, but can be a challenge, because, you know, it's like, there is no one else behind you. Like, I mean, you know, maybe hubby, and I'm not certainly talking down any husbands out there, but, you know, often in our family, or pretty much all the time in our family, my wife is the final line of defense. And if we're thinking of like a football or a soccer, you know, kind of analogy, if she's the goalie, if anyone gets past her, that's it. They've scored. The other team, the opposition's got us. And so, you know, it can be a little bit a tiring job, I suppose, and she has to be tireless to be able to keep it going. So it's a big hats off to you for doing what you do, and to all the other parents out there, especially the mums. No offense, dads. And so, so what other benefits do you think it's brought into your life? So obviously you'd be way fitter now. The food, you know, you talked about, the relationship a little bit with food there, but I guess that has changed as well, has it? Considering that you have to like fuel yourself to be able to run all these distances, and you mentioned the nutrition in races. Has that been interesting sort of coming across that side of things?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I definitely feel that when I'm healthier, just overall, not necessarily pertaining to races or running, but it really helps when I do go to train and when I do go to do a race, because I know I've done a couple where maybe I haven't been as focused or as consistent as I should be in my nutrition, and it's made a huge difference. So, I mean, it is a big part, but I think those benefits are pretty obvious to most people. Like if you're doing any kind of exercises for a given period of time, you're going to see benefits in your life. So the physical is more obvious to most people than other benefits are. The main thing that I've seen, it's more mental for me, just like the confidence that it's given me, not because I can run, you know, a pretty long distance now, but more so the confidence in setting a goal and being able to work towards reaching it, even if I don't always meet my goal or a specific time or whatever it may be. Just to have the confidence to put it out there and work towards it has been a huge benefit. And that goes to the different areas of my life too, whether it's, you know, a goal at work, I'm working towards a certain position or doing whatever, I can focus on that and put my energy towards meeting that goal. And it's really just among many benefits of that running has brought into my life.
Yeah, see, that's an interesting one too, isn't it? Because if it's not like, if life hasn't always demanded goal setting, or even if perhaps you have set goals or whatever else, it doesn't mean that we've always necessarily gone towards hitting them or setting such big lofty goals that you're well and truly outside of your comfort zone. I mean, you know, if you're a person that's run a bit and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, okay, you know, half marathon, that is usually, for most, it is for me, well and truly outside of our comfort zone. So to be able to knock that goal over your eye, like all of a sudden other things in your life start to seem like, well, why not? If I can do this, I could do that. Right. Does that sort of become a thing for you where like half marathon has been fun, because you've only been at it for a relatively short space of time? Do you have like goals now to sort of run a lot further?
Yeah, actually, I was thinking about that earlier today. I have a couple more halves that I'm going to do this year, but really what I'm focused on right now is trying to wrap my head around doing a full marathon in 2020. And I kind of feel like I'm really on the fence, just because 13.1 miles is already a long distance, but 26.2 just seems that much longer. And I think, like, at the end of a half, would I even have the energy to run another step, let alone another, you know, 13.1 miles? So it's a goal I'm really trying to wrap my head around and kind of put into place now, the mental and physical training that I need to do to accomplish that. But it's definitely on my list.
And it's funny too, isn't it? It's like, oh, you know, like, are you going to increase the distance? Yeah. How much? Well, I'm just going to do double, like twice as far as this massive thing, which already felt like a massive thing. The idea of doubling it, maybe there should be like a 3/4 marathon. Like, maybe that exists, but like, it's all these funny things. Like, you know, it's a half Ironman. It's a half marathon. Like, you know, surely someone could have like,
just a little stepping stone to get you there.
Stepping stone. Goodness gracious. So that's cool though. So like potentially though, you know, in less than a year, you could have very well conquered this goal. And then you'll be looking back going like, oh, remember the time that I thought that maybe this wasn't possible? And then the confidence that will come from that would be another big boost.
Yeah, exactly. It's just such a trickling effect. Like you said, I mean, you think one is hard and you accomplish it and you think in your mind, okay, well, what could be next? What more can I do? And then just keeps going. So when I do finally get that full marathon, what's going to be next for me? Well, I think, you know, to do a 50K or a 100K or, you know, what is the boundaries? Is there even any boundaries? Like, what can I possibly do?
10 years from now, it's like Anna B running around the world. Like, it's like, how many days have you been running? I don't know. I've lost count. I mean, like, maybe like it gets to this point where, like, you know, maybe there is no limits. You know, you hear the things like, you know, limits are in the mind and all of these sorts of things. And you do sort of start to wonder, like, is that real or is it not? And there's so many stories of people doing things and you think to yourself, like, how did you do that? How did you get to a point where you were able to do these things? But, you know, it's first of all, starting somewhere. Second of all, maybe having a glimmer in your mind that it's possible, a little bit of hope, a little bit of, you know, self-belief perhaps to make these things happen. And then, you know, the ones that think that they can change the world or the ones that are crazy enough to think they can usually are the ones that are. I love that saying. So marathon it is, and maybe ultra. So that's in the back of your mind a little bit perhaps.
Yeah, it's definitely there. And I mean, going along with that, you kind of think the same thing because people will come up to me and say, you know, how do you run 13 miles? Like, how do you even possibly do that? So really it is, like you said, just about perspective and where you're at, starting where you're at and kind of going from there.
Has that been interesting? I mean, you know, whether it be work, family, these other people that you're mentioning, like, has that been odd to now see that you are inspiring others and actually like bending the limits of their mind and helping them perhaps think about getting out of their own comfort zones?
Yeah, it's been different to be on that end of it. But at the same time, it's so rewarding too. Like my mom, who's 50 something years old, she did a 5K with me last year. Excuse me. And that was pretty amazing just because, you know, most 50 something year olds don't think about starting to do stuff like that. But her and my sister did it, and just watching the effects that my life has on other people is pretty rewarding. So it's a little, it does make me feel a little odd when somebody says, how do you do that? But I still remember, you know, being that person telling my friend, I don't know how you run 13 miles. Like, it's just crazy. But it's so rewarding to be able to encourage people and be some form of inspiration to them.
Yeah, running's a funny one, isn't it? Because it's like, you know, without being smart to anyone that asks, like, how did you do it? Well, it's a pretty simple recipe. You put your left foot and then the right. And the left and the right and the left and the right. And if you just keep that recipe, like, it's really easy. Left, right, left, right, left, right. Like, you know, I mean, like, I'm supposed to, someone could be like, left, 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 left. I mean, that'd be weird. Someone hopped past me on a, you know, but, you know, it is an interesting one. But then at the same time, like, you know, I've tried a super long race. 44Ks is the distance I made, and I wasn't running the whole thing. In fact, like, you know, there was points where it's like I was barely walking. I could barely lift my legs and, you know, and you because they're just numbers, like 44. Well, what does that even mean? It's not until it's like 44,000 meters that you start to think like, okay, you know, that's a bloody long way. And so it is interesting. And you mentioned that your sisters were runners or are runners. Are they runners or have they been runners of the sort of distances that you do?
No, they haven't done any halves with me. They've done a couple 8Ks and 10Ks, but no half yet. I'm working on them though. Hopefully this next year. Yeah.
You're now the longer distance runner in the family. That's cool.
Yeah, right now I am, but we'll see how things go for them.
And like, again, like, you know, eventually you'd be like, oh, I ran a 50K. And just like some of the raised eyebrows. It's interesting to think, like, and even some of the people I've interviewed, they're like, oh, well, I'm doing 50 of these races all year. And you just think like, oh, God, you know, there's always someone else, I suppose, that's helping bend down minds of what's possible, which is nice.
Yeah, definitely.
Nice to be able to have this relationship with your mum and family and, I don't know, the kids. Are the kids getting a little bit of a bug for running?
My 7-year-old, he does. He definitely wants to go out with me more often than the older boys do. And he did a race with me last year, which was really fun. And then my little 2-year-old, my daughter, she is the one who always wants to go and run with me, but she can only go for so long. Mm-hmm. But it's in there. I'm working on them slowly but surely. I'm hoping one of them will end up doing cross country or track when they get into high school. But we'll see. Wow. I don't want to push them either, you know?
So you have a 2-year-old right now?
I do.
Oh, my gosh. That's what a handful. How are you fitting everything in? Like, you know, running and work and 4 kids, let alone a little 2-year-old into the mix. That must just be a real challenge. Any tips? Any Anna B time management tips?
You know, it's all about using the support you have. Luckily, I work for a great company who's super flexible. So I actually get to work from home a few days a week, and that helps with sneaking those runs in and not having to rush back to shower or anything like that. But my older boys, they're also getting to the age where they can help out and babysit for at least an hour or two. Nothing too long, but I can sneak away if I need to. And then I have my sisters really close by. So I do rely on them when I need to, when I don't have any other options. It is really just about using the support you have. And my husband's always been super supportive of me. So he lets me go whenever he's home. He lets me go out and run for as long as I want to. And yeah, it's just about kind of working with what you have and making it work for you. And it doesn't always mean I get to run, you know, 6 days a week. But if I can sneak in a few days, then that's, you know, that's a plus in my book.
I like it. And has it been interesting to be like blogging and recording this journey and doing that side of it? Because again, like, you know, that's a different side to just going and running and just being a mum and doing whatever else. Has it been interesting to you? To watch the chronicle, I think that's the word in my head, but like, you know, this documented journey that you're on.
Yeah, no, I mean, sometimes I'll look back and see what I, you know, posted like a year ago or what I was running a year ago. And it's pretty amazing just to kind of see the progression there. I think on my timeline, it just popped up that this time last year, I was doing a 10-mile long run or something like that. And I actually just did one this past weekend also. So I'm kind of thinking, you know, like the time I did it and then what my pace was then as opposed to what it is now. And just to see that improvement and that even though day by day, it doesn't seem like you're getting better or that it's getting easier. But if you look at it overall with the bigger picture, it is a huge difference between from where you start to where you can be even just a year later.
I love that sort of thing, like the word Kaizen or this continuous improvement philosophy and, you know, just a little bit extra, a little bit extra, a little bit extra, that all adds up to be an extraordinary change over time. And, you know, again, you know, that's 1 year and to think about what you've managed to accomplish in a year or a year and a half, that's a big shift. I mean, you know, 5 years from now, looking back and thinking, you know, if you are running 100K or more, you know, to think back to not only times and things, things, but it is likely to be a big improvement. And it doesn't have to be a big improvement. It doesn't have to be all about getting better and better and better and better. But, you know, it tends to be a side benefit of continually improving yourself.
Yeah, or even that you're just still doing it, because it's so easy to stop running for, you know, a few days and just be like, oh, I'm going to sleep in today. It's not that big of a deal. Or, you know, I'm going to take the next couple weeks off. No big deal. But just to look back and see that I'm still able to be as committed to running as I was a year ago. I mean, that's a huge benefit too, aside from the improvement, but just knowing that I have the tenacity in me to keep going and keep working at this thing I really enjoy doing.
And so you tenacity. Oh, well, that's cool. I like the word tenacity. I've been making shirt designs lately, and it's just been putting words on the front that I find that are inspiring to me, and words, you know, that are interesting. Tenacity. That's a good one. That's got to make it onto the, onto the front of one of these positivities. But you know, you've talked about tenacity. You've talked about the confidence that's come from things, goal setting, you know, ways to keep yourself accountable. That there's joy there, you know. But I'm interested to know from your perspective, what do you think makes up a successful mindset?
You know, I've thought about this several times as I'm writing different things for my blog and posting different things. And really what I've kind of come down to is that the two or three most important things is to focus on yourself, to start where you are. Because, you know, people can look at me and, you know, see me running, you know, 10-mile long runs and stuff and be discouraged by that. Or they can understand that I and see from what I've done that I started with not even being able to run 3 miles straight. I was doing a run walk at that point, and just to see the improvement there. So hopefully people can see that I started way back from where I am now. And the important thing is to start where you are, because we're all completely different people with different goals. And to focus on others is kind of almost doing yourself a disservice from what you can accomplish with realizing where you are. Having said that, my next one would probably be to not overthink it either. You know, don't get caught up on the planning or needing everything to be perfect, waiting for the right timing, waiting for the right moment. Just really get up and do it, you know, regardless of all the, I hate to put it this way, but all the excuses you can really put on yourself, you know, all the excuses you can make for yourself, just going and starting it is the biggest thing. Whether you can run a mile or whether you can walk a mile, it's really just getting going no matter what you're doing. A coworker of mine, he says the funniest thing. He tells me all the time, because in the work we do, I have to think and process a lot, and he's always telling me analysis is paralysis. So don't get caught up in the analyzing, because it's really just going to hinder you. Just get in and do it.
Yeah, that's a good one. Analysis paralysis. And that is true. Hey, like, I am a personality that can quite quickly put pros and cons, or you know, if I'm looking at an argument or a situation, I can see reasons why I should and reasons why I shouldn't, to the point where it can just stop you in your tracks, because you're looking at both ways thinking, I can see that both ways here have you know, equal good, equal bad, and it's almost like, oh gosh, I have to choose something? Do I have to choose something? And then, but the best recipe is just to dive in, pick one, and if it needs to be changed, change. Because in most cases, we can change.
Yeah. There's always room to. Nothing is set in stone. You can, like you said, change. You can move to a different training plan. You can work with a different group. You can sign up for a different distance or whatever it is. There's no, you know, law saying you have to do exactly what you said you were going to do 2 days ago. Yeah, there's always room to move around and make things work for you. Like I was saying earlier, it's about using your support system, but it's also about making things work for what you need at that moment.
Yeah, and maybe not putting too much pressure on yourself about, you know, what others, because it can be hard too. You know, it's like even for me, like, you know, at the time of me pulling out of a recent race, like I'm thinking, oh gosh, but I promised so many people, it's like I didn't really promise anyone. I didn't promise, but in my head, that's the story I'm telling myself. It's like, well, look, you know, if any of those people were there on the sideline, they'd be encouraging me. But if they see the state that I'm in, they're not going to be like, no, you go that whole distance, and I don't care if you're dead at the end. No one's talking like that. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So if these little voices in our heads and all these obligations and things, you know, it's a run and it's fun and it's, you know, good on you for challenging yourself, but enjoy it. You know, don't grind yourself into the dirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a big one is enjoy what you're doing, because the moment you make it work, the moment you make it something to check off your list or something that's kind of getting in the way of doing other stuff, that's when it's going to stop being fun and it's going to be more about just getting it done. And really for me, I think the reason why I can keep going, that I've been doing this for so long, well, what feels so long to me now, is that I still enjoy it. I still really look forward to getting outside and running several miles. It's never been work for me. It's never been something I have to do. And that's a big part of doing anything in your life, I think.
And sometimes we might look at people like pros and, you know, I've interviewed, you know, professional runners and things, and, you know, you could aspire to be out of the rat race, or, you know, like getting off the treadmill or the hamster wheel, or all the different sayings for work. And maybe we could even take the same mindset to work, that, hey, we get to work, not have to work. But, you know, you might look at a professional runner and think, oh my gosh, wouldn't that be great? Paid to run. And I love running. Mm-hmm. But maybe if it became work and it's like, well, now there's all these obligations and you have to do it in this certain time and you have to be winning. And even if your speed was fast and now other people are getting faster, maybe just the joy of being able to go out and run or just do any sort of endurance sport because it's fun, like that's really something that should be savored, like you're saying.
Yeah, definitely. You have to look at the reasons why you're doing things. And if they don't line up, then you need to change something about how you're doing it and to get it to be fun again, get it to be something you look forward to.
And so you mentioned that you're going to do a couple of half marathons for the rest of this year, and then maybe the marathon, well, let's say yes to the marathon next year. But, you know, like it's interesting to see, like, have you been kind of just picking off different races, you know, around? Like, do you sort of like do a little bit of goal setting, and is it like you and your friend are still doing things, or do you just pick races that are nearby or ones that you like the look of the scenery?
Yeah, this year I've just kind of gone with races that are nearby. I mean, I really am in the mindset that it doesn't have to cost a lot, or you don't have to put a lot of effort into making this a fun sport for yourself. So I did more that were out of my hometown area last year. So this year I really was just focusing on ones that are nearby, ones that I would enjoy doing. And I actually had planned to do one in May that's going to be running along the same course as the full marathon that I want to do next year. But I was having some shin issues, so I didn't get to do that one. So my next one is actually going to be literally in my hometown, the same roads I run every single day. So I'm really looking forward to that one just because it's so familiar to me, and I'm hoping it's, you know, going to be a good one. But yeah, this year is just really about what's nearby, what's convenient, and, you know, what I can get into my schedule.
See, that's interesting too, isn't it? I'm just imagining like all the people cheering in the actual event, and it's the same roads that you run on. So like, you know, in the lead up, but even more so after running that run, you know, when you're just out for your training, you know, you'll almost be able to like overlay their memory of like all the people cheering. It might even make training that even a little bit more enjoyable, because you can sort of imagine the high five you got at a certain point, or the sign that, you know, was like, hey, keep going, or whatever it might be, you know, like that'll be a nice one, doing it in your home spot.
Yeah, we have such a nice little community here. I'm really looking forward to it. And yeah, I didn't even think about that benefit, just having that nice memory of running through these streets later on when I am training for something different. I love that.
And so when you're not training and you're, I mean, you must have your hands full, work, 4 kids, a 2-year-old, and running. But is there anything else that you're sort of getting up to when you're not running or training?
Yeah, no, I mean, mostly, yeah, like you said, just hanging out with the kiddos. We do, I mean, we like to spend family time going out. I mean, we live in such a nice area. We like to get out and do some hiking around this area. We spend a lot of time out at a lake nearby during the summer. Yeah, Oregon's a little tough because, you know, for a good part of the year, we're kind of stuck indoors because of the weather. So when it gets nice, we definitely like to take advantage and get out there, yeah, doing stuff outside. We have a trip planned coming up this summer to Crater Lake, which is crazy because I've never been there. And that's the first thing everybody asks me about is, you know, how's Crater Lake? Is it amazing? And I always have to say, I don't know. I live in Oregon, but I've never been there. So we're making it a must this year, and we're getting out there and doing it.
That's another intriguing thing to me as well. Like, you know, sometimes I'll talk to people and I'll be like, oh, Australia, this thing, that thing, this thing. And I think like, oh, I really haven't been to a lot of places. Mum and dad really went out of their way to encourage and pay for trips and different things. And as I've been an adult, there's been a massive amount of times where they've gone places and I've gone, oh no, I better stay and do work. And I've stayed and worked, you know, and because I've got to get ahead and I'm not even working at those places anymore. But it does sound like there is a sense of adventure there. And that seems to be growing even more for you that, you know, this active lifestyle has its benefits that you are able to spend time with kids, that you are able to go out and spend time with kids when the weather's right, and family. So like that must be a nice thing, having that sense of adventure as a family.
Yeah, definitely. My husband and I, we've actually been really working towards doing a portion of the Pacific Crest Trail. That's pretty huge out west where we're at. So yeah, eventually I want to check that off our list too. But yeah, just the benefits that you get from just making a little bit of change in your life to being a little bit more active just trickles down the line, and you think of all these other things that you can be doing too. So yeah, definitely.
And are you working with any brands at the moment?
I do. I am actually an ambassador for Generation You Can. I don't know if you've heard of them, but
No.
it's a fueling company, and they have a whole line of hydration and fueling. And I mentioned earlier, I was really focused on my health. So when I first started running and training for that half marathon, I really did a lot of research and what's going to tie in best with the kind of life that I was living. And I didn't want to take in a bunch of sugars. I really wanted to avoid just that, the high fructose corn syrup, you know, all the unnecessary stuff. And yeah, Generation You Can was really, that's what their thing was. It's long lasting energy without all the sugar spikes. So I started using them, and I've only ever used them. And then last year, I applied to be an ambassador, and I was completely surprised when I got it because I hadn't been running very long. But yeah, I got it, and I've been working with them since then.
Well, that's pretty cool, isn't it? It's just again another little side benefit of, and this little booster to think that, you know, you again haven't been running that long, and you know you're getting more ability in that space, more proficient. But then to think that you know a brand might want to work with you. I mean, it's a funny thing if brands work with people every day, but not every day people are always working with brands. So
No,
that
it's
must have been a
definitely
real boost.
exciting. It was really a boost of confidence too. Like, oh well, you know, I mean, I was already promoting them just because I really believed in the product beforehand. But yeah, getting to just keep doing what I'm doing and getting the benefits of working with the company is really awesome.
I like it. I like it. And so, you know, you've shared some absolute golden tips so far throughout. But like, you know, any other tips for newbies that might be thinking about getting into? Could be moms. Could be, you know, could be other people that are thinking, oh gosh, do I have the time or do I have the confidence? Do I have the ability, you know, to do these things? But any other tips from your perspective for new people thinking about getting into endurance?
Yeah, I mean, just like kind of what we said before, start where you're at. I think Ryan Hall is just wrote a book about run the mile you're in. I think that's so important because you don't want to get caught up in the comparison trap of, you know, seeing what other people are doing and thinking that's what you have to do. So just really run where you're at and focus on what you can do and what goals you have, and take in all the encouragement, all the support from the community, but don't lose focus of who you are, and don't let the pressure of putting it out there kind of hinder you in just running your own mile.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter if you put it out there and you don't complete it. And it doesn't matter if you put it out there and you thought you would go fast and you went slow. It doesn't matter if you don't like running anymore and you want to go and ride a bike or, you know, do swimming or do some other sport that people listen to this and like, hey, how about we pick something else, like rollerblading that maybe isn't quite as difficult. Any rollerbladers out there, I haven't rollerbladed in a long time, so I don't know how difficult it is. Probably difficult. But, you know, that's the thing. Just take the pressure off. Take the pressure down.
Exactly. Yes, definitely.
I like it. This has been a fun catch up. So for people that were, you know, wanting to follow along on your journey and you know, watch what you're up to, you mentioned the blog, but did you want to mention any website handles, your blog address, your social media handles, anywhere that people can follow you?
Yeah, I'm most active on Instagram. So that's just Anna B. That's me. No spaces, no dots, just Anna B. That's me. And then, of course, my blog is AnnaB.That'sMe.com.
Cool. Anna, this has been really fun. I can't wait to sort of, you know, keep following along in your journey and see the marathon come under your belt. And then who knows from there, you know, what else might come. No pressure. But look, you know, it really has just been a lot of fun catching up. I just want to say a big thank you for you taking the time.
Yeah, this has been fun. Thanks for having me.